Amen. Before we begin our message this morning, I would like to pray. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us this morning. We ask that you would bring to mind the things that we have been learning, the things that we have been discovering through Jonah and his experience with you. As we conclude today, Lord, I pray that I know some of us will be able to identify ourselves. At the same time, maybe some of us, that's who we were. But wherever we are, we pray that the truth would penetrate us and it would encourage us, bless us. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to share with you, as we've been talking about, I'm not going to talk too long, but you know, we are going to go through and finish up the book of Jonah today. It's only four chapters. First two chapters has a lot of meat and, you know, drama. The third and fourth chapter as well has a little bit of meat and drama. And just want to kind of share and just kind of recap. If you can remember, we talked about Jonah. We talked about why it was difficult for him to be able to go and preach the good news. Not the gospel, because the gospel wasn't around yet, but the good news about God. We kind of touched on that area, how it was a little bit difficult for him because basically, he was prejudiced, right? He was prejudiced against the people. He didn't like the people. The whole nation of Israel didn't like the people, the Ninevites, you know, and they just, that's what their hearts was about. They didn't love the people around them. And so we talked about how he traveled around and, of course, wanted to go to the farthest part of the earth known at that time. But, of course, God captured him. It's really funny, too, if you look, and we don't have it up here, but if you look on the maps of Jonah's, you know, journey, you see, and nobody knows exactly where, you know, how far Jonah got, but it's just a total turnaround. It's like a U-shaped turnaround where God grabbed him and took him back. And we know, as I discussed last week, Jonah's prayer, we kind of talked about that, how we you know, basically said, you know, God, thank you. And his prayer was not a prayer of that moment, but it was a prayer of already. As he already said, you know, thank you for already, right, delivering me. Not, can you deliver me as I'm in the stomach of this fish? You know, it smells, it's stinky, I can't breathe. It wasn't praying like that. He said, already, thank you for the things that you've done or you will do. And so we kind of touched upon that. And then we didn't really touch little, you know, much more on that. But as we see here, in verse 10 of chapter 2, which is not up there, but you know, I mean, it's just one verse. I'll read it to you. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And so we see that after the prayer that was made by Jonah, after the pleading and the prayer, that God's heart was moved, and God truly realized that he was ready to do his work. You know, the thing about God is that you cannot fake God out. You cannot fake God. You cannot fake God the way you can fake people. You can't say, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing great. And inside, you're just, oh, you know, turmoil is going on inside, right? I mean, you cannot fake God. And so that's why you have to understand the importance of Jonah's prayer. Jonah absolutely knew he cannot fake God, can't run from God. And so his prayer had to be honest, because if it wasn't honest, do you think God would have let him go? No, right? God would not have let him go because he wasn't ready. God was really disciplining this guy. And it came to a point where his heart was soft enough that he would obey God. As we study, and most of you know from Sunday school, it doesn't mean that, you know, he changed his ways, but it did mean that God softened it just enough to be able to do his work. And so he vomited, you know, and it must have been a really gross sight, but he vomited, you know, and I don't know how he looked or whatever like that, fish guts, but he got back on shore, and he started traveling to the place where he needed to go, and this is where we pick up from chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. And we know the message, right? Proclaim to the message I give you. Jonah is given the second chance, right? Jonah is given the second chance to serve the Lord. You know, this really has to play a part in our understanding of who God is. You are not qualified to do the work of the Lord. He does, you know, you cannot earn qualification. It's not like you go and get a certificate to do something. If you want to be a paralegal, what do you got to do? You got to go to school, right? If you want to be a, you know, a psychologist, you got to go to school. I mean, can you, I love that commercial where the guy sleeps at, what is it, the Best Inn? Best Inn Hotel, right? And like the professional basketball player hurts his knee. And he runs on the court and he's like, oh yeah, this is wrong. He's like, oh, are you a professional? He's like, no, but I slipped at a Quality Inn last night. You know that commercial? You never seen that commercial? Oh God. And there goes my, you know, anyway. But there's that commercial, right? Where, you know, you guys have really never seen that commercial before? All right, anyway, forget it. But anyway, he's going back there, and he's not qualified, right? You have to be qualified. You don't have to be, sorry, that threw me off. You didn't know my example. You have to be, you don't have to be qualified to serve God. And more than anything we know, if you look at Jonah's life, I mean, would you think that you would want to use Jonah a second time if he ran away from you and just totally bolted the other way? Of course not. And this has a very important role on our spiritual lives. You know, you don't have to have a certain qualification to serve the Lord. You don't. You don't. Because God could absolutely use anybody he wants to in whatever state that you're in. He could do that. And so when we see here, you know, I'm trying to encourage us in a way that it doesn't matter whether we stumble, whether we fail, whether we're in a high point or a low point, because sometimes, a lot of times, when we're in the highest point of our spiritual lives, we think, of course God's going to use us, right? It's so easy. Some of you are teaching Sunday school. Some of you are teaching youth. Some of you are teaching young kids. You know, when you do well spiritually, of course it's easy for God to use you. But when you're not doing so well, when you're not doing that great, a lot of times because of our human nature, we think, oh, God can't possibly use me. But that's not the case. It's not the case. Good circumstance, bad circumstance. And the reality is, as Christians, we live this life. A lot of times when we hit difficulties in our lives, we tend to just let go of our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we see that here. Verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. We talked about that already. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Verse 6, then the news reached the king of Nineveh. He rose from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat down into the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. Do not let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened them. Right? We've talked about this over and over. God's told the Israelites, repent of your ways, change how you're living, change the way, you know, what you're doing, stop doing other things, stop worshiping other idols, serve me, right? The whole Old Testament is filled with prophets telling the people of Israel the same thing. Repent, 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 stop doing that. And it takes time and effort. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And then we find here that this city, which I talked about the past 2 weeks, I mean, they weren't a good city. They weren't a good nation. They weren't a good people, right? We saw that. And yet still, one message comes, and they are fasting and crying out, and they're praying, and they're really wanting to turn their hearts back to the Lord. It's an amazing thing. If you and I would be betting people, I'm not a betting person, I don't play the lottery, but if I did, and if you and I were betting people, we would probably bet that these people would not turn back to the Lord. Or maybe we would, because it's the Bible, you know, it's got a lot of great stories. But I want you to think for a moment. I want you to think about in your life, brothers and sisters, family members who don't know Jesus yet. Think about this for a moment. Picture them in your mind. Now, I want you to think about that and honestly say, in your faith that you have, do you believe that if you share with them the good news, that they would turn to God? Do you believe it? Really? I would probably figure that most of us said, not really. Maybe it would take a little bit more prayer. Maybe it would be, you know, a little bit longer. Maybe I need to bring them to church a little bit longer. And you know, that's the kind of the measurement of our faith. But we see here that because Jonah obeyed God, yes, the second time, but because he obeyed God, the whole nation of people were ready, right? They were ready. When God speaks to you and he touches you and he speaks about a specific person in a specific time, listen to what he has to say and don't fight it. I know it's easy for us to fight. God, is this really from you? You know, if you ever have an inclination to share God's love, it's always from God. It's always from God. It's not measured. Is this really from you, God, that I should share the gospel with my son? Of course it is. But it's the timing that matters, because I know if some of you have been sharing the gospel with husbands and wives and children and friends, and they still are not open to the gospel. I know that. I've heard your testimony. We've prayed together about those things. And, you know, sometimes we lose hope, we lose faith that, is God really going to be the deliverer that he talks about? Is he really going to spread the gospel? I mean, is he really going to love, come through this time, you know? Because I've been praying, you know, I share with you, I've been praying for my friend, my childhood friend, for almost 20 years now. And there's just no movement in his heart, you know? And I get tired of praying for him. Lord, you just, there's no opening, no, the little window, just open it. And there's just no opening. And I tell you now, if you ask me, do you believe that your friend will be saved? A big part of my heart says no. Because 20 years I've been praying, and 20 years God has not even opened the door. 20 years, not one time, God, you can't even bring one person to come along. 20 years, you know, he goes to a wedding at a church and says, hey, what is this about? 20 years, God, will you do something? And my heart begins to grow stale, and my heart begins to really lose faith that God will do anything anymore. You know, and that's where we become. And, you know, these words have to encourage us that when God uses you to speak to somebody, you have no idea what God wants to do. You have no idea. We see here, of course, this is the ultimate situation. That is the enemy of the people of God. Of course, they don't want to do, you know, they don't want to talk. But maybe your ministry is not so extreme. It's not an enemy, but it's just someone close to you that you really love, but you've lost hope that God would really touch them anymore. I want you to be encouraged that if a nation, and we've talked about the atrocities they performed, killing, murders, all that stuff, if a nation like this can hear the message one time and change their heart, you know what? I promise you that your subtle words to your beloved friends and neighbors and coworkers makes a difference. Amen? Makes a difference. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them it makes a difference. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Tell them it makes a difference. Some of you are like, no, it doesn't. It does. Some of you, you know, you're still like, some of they're telling your neighbors, telling you that, and you're like, no, it doesn't. It does. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Reflect upon your own life. I shared my salvation story of how my friends in high school, every single one of them, received Christ before me and constantly told me about Christ, and I just shut them out every time for 2 years. And then one day, the gospel made sense, right? There, and who were the first people there welcoming into the religious, spiritual family of God? They were. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Chapter 4. And then this is actually our concluding chapter here. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. So we know now God did exactly what he said he was going to do. If the people will repent, he would forgive them and bless them. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. First of all, when God says he's going to offer you grace and forgiveness, absolutely. He's going to offer you grace and forgiveness. I don't want you to have any doubt about that. You get that? Don't doubt that. When God says he will forgive you, he will forgive you. When God says that you can come to him, right, and cast your burdens upon him, that your yoke will be lighter, absolutely he will do that. But you have to move. You have to make a step, just like the Ninevites did. They made a step, and then God forgave them. Right, and we see here Jonah's kind of messed up a little bit. You know, he didn't want to you know, to see the people turn to the Lord. And we see here that now at this time, that God really in Jonah's time, the people of Israel did not want to share God. And you would think as time passed on that it would get better, but it doesn't get better. In Apostle Paul's time, the Israelites still did not want to share God. There's this long history of Israel not wanting to share God. It's a strange thing. You've got to ask ourselves, are we in this same position as a church, as a people of God? Do we not want to share God? Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:14. It's going to be up there. Apostle Paul says, for you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. Do you hear what he's saying here? He's not talking about past churches. He's saying, even at this time, the Pharisees and all those hierarchy, you know, religious people that claim to be, you know, the people of God, Israel, they don't want the gospel message to be preached. And they're stopping the message from being preached. And Paul is saying, even now, they're stopping us. They're trying to stop us from presenting the love of Christ. See how what happened many years ago in Jonah's time? You would think, oh, but look at New Testament. It's so wonderful and loving. It's not. The same thing is happening. The same thing is going on. And Apostle Paul is trying because, you know, he has to preach to who? The Gentiles. Right? Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, is teaching to the Jews, the people of God, and then Paul has to go out and preach to everybody else. And of course, Peter is embraced by all the religious leaders. Yes, he makes some mistakes, and yes, they face difficulty, but you know what? He goes to the Jews, they've seen Jesus, they've seen his power, they embrace him, then suddenly Paul goes out to all the Gentile people, and then everyone's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? People in the church, people outside of the church, but most of all, the people in the nation of Israel. They're saying, why are you doing that? Why are you sharing God with these people? Hey, think about this. And it's a history. It didn't stop. It didn't last for like 100 years, 200 years, 300 years. It keeps going, this history of not wanting to share God with other people. We see that. He claims it, you know. He's trying to encourage. The Philippians is one of the first books written in the New Testament. He's trying to encourage people. Yeah, brothers, you know, other so-called Christians are trying to push us down. But you know what? I love you guys. You know, I'm encouraging you guys to keep up with the faith. We see that here. He's doing that over and over. And you know what? What's more amazing about this is that the people of God have totally lost their focus. Totally lost their focus. Can we relate to this? I want you to think about the first time you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What did you want to do? You wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, right? Really, right? I told you when I became Christian in Big Bear Mountain, lived in Phoenix, but Big Bear Mountain became a Christian, drove back after the week-long retreat. The first thing they asked me is, do you want to give a testimony? And, you know, I didn't know God was. I said, yes, I do. So I got up, and you know, because we used to have those things, youth group, you know, after retreats, we would come up and do performances, whatever we learned. And I went up there, and I was crying. I was bawling, man. I was like crying. My parents were crying because they finally understood that I accepted Christ. And I was sharing with them the love of Christ, you know, and I wanted to share about who Christ was. Do we have that passion anymore? Do we have that, like, even want to share? Or are we just worried about getting an A on our reports and getting a good job? Think about it. You got to understand. I mean, Jonah was supposed to be a missionary. The people of Israel were supposed to be missionaries. Why did God choose them? Because if he did not choose this nation, is there something special about them? Well, yeah. Abraham believed God. And from his line, because he believed God, that's whom God chose. And from them, the nation of Israel came out. We see here on Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Abraham takes his son Isaac because God asked him to and sacrifice his son. And Isaac says, okay, I will. On his long journey up, I think it's like three days journey up the mountain. Right before he's about to, you know, he straps his son. He's about to kill his son. Angel Lord comes and says, don't do it. Right? God speaks to him. God speaks to Abraham and said, chapter 22, verse 16, Genesis, I swear, this is so funny, I swear by myself, this is God talking, because he can't swear to God because he is God, right? So he says, I swear by myself, God is saying, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Do you hear what he's saying? All nations on earth, not just the good ones, not just the nice ones, not just the ones that you can invite over to dinner, but every nation on earth will be blessed through you. That's what he says. Because you have obeyed me. And we see here that God proclaims that I will make you what? Into a great name, a great nation, a great blessing. And through this group of people, God will bless everybody. And we have a group of people here with their prophetic leader in Jonah, totally forgetting the message. And it's got to really shake us. I mean, it's got to shake you that the message God gives and says, you know what, I'm going to use you to bless everybody. And they totally walk away from that. Just wash their hands and say, you know what, those people are not very nice, or they, you know, they're rude to us or whatever. I'm not going to share the love of Christ with them. I hope this wakes you up. I hope you get it. God said to Abraham, your nation, you will be a nation. You're not going to, one person, already he promised, you're going to be a nation of people so numerous, and you're going to spread the good news of who I am. You're going to bless everybody around you. That is your job. That is your calling in life. It's not to live a good life and this and that. No. Your job is to be a blessing to everybody around you, to all the nations. And we see Jonah here. What is he doing? Do you hear what he says here? Do you see what he says in chapter 4? Became greatly. Lord! What is, can you read this? This is why I was so quick to. I knew you would be gracious. I knew you would be kind. I knew you would be forgiving. I knew it. Can you imagine now the arrogancy? Do you understand the arrogancy of what's going on here? God, who are you to do whatever? I mean, you got to get this picture. And then as I'm explaining this to you, I hope you understand the grace of God not to just destroy Jonah at that very moment, just to kill him right there. I probably would. What? Just kill him. Lightning bolt. But he didn't do it. God withheld himself. And in fact, he started trying to teach Jonah about this love. He's trying to start teaching him about, you know, it's not about you. It's not about what you want or what you need or your feeling of, you know, getting this right. It's not about that. I mean, there's a whole nation of people dying, going to hell, and all you're worried about is your feeling. That's what he's saying. And as we read, we see that God causes the leaf to grow and becomes very shaded, and then God causes a worm to come and take the shade away and gets very upset again. Oh, I want to die. And, you know, he's getting all upset about these little things, these little comforts. And God is saying, man, you have no control over the vine or the worm. You have no control over this or that, but I created the world. I created these people for my enjoyment, but they don't know me. And you're the one that's supposed to go and speak to them. Do you remember the promise that I made to your founding father, Abraham? That he will be a great nation, a great blessing. And they refuse to do it. Over and over and over again, they refuse to do it. I want to close with this. I don't even know if we have this up. I think we do. Chapter 4, the end of chapter 4. Verse 11, but Nineveh has more, and God is talking, Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? And you know, this book ends not like the Gospels where Jesus says, hey, I'll see you guys later, and he takes off in a glorious ending. This book ends in pretty much like a rebuke. You should have done this. You didn't do this. Don't you even know I care about these people? End of story. And you know what the most interesting thing about this story is? That about 50 to 60 years later, the people of Nineveh revert right back to their old ways, and they become so atrocious that God can just absolutely destroys the nation. He absolutely obliterates them from existence, about 67 years from this point. I want you to understand, you know, we may think, well, then why did God go through all this trouble if they're just going to revert back? See, Jonah was right. He was. He was right about the people. But that's not the point, is it? The point is, when God speaks to you and says, hey, I want you to go and share my love with these people. It's not us to judge and calculate, yeah, but he's not a really good guy. Or, yeah, but I really don't think they'll give their life to the Lord. Or, yeah, but, you know, this guy, you know, I don't really think that, you know, he's deserving. It's not that. It's just that, are you willing to obey and not worry about the outcome? Because what does God say? Because Abraham was obedient, he obeyed me, that's why he's a nation. That's why he is the nation. It's not about calculation. As I close, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about Abraham taking his son. I have two boys. I want you to think about Abraham taking his son up and the calculations that he's making at this time. Think about this. He has a walk. He has some hiking to do. And every step he's calculating, I'm sure, do I really want to kill my son? Am I really going to kill my son? Do I have to kill my son? How am I going to? I mean, there's this calculation upon calculation, but at the end of the journey, he threw all that calculation out and replaced that with just mere obedience. And that's hard. And I'm not up here saying that, oh, that's easy. Come on, let's just do it, all right? Hurrah, hurrah. I'm saying that's really hard. It's a hard decision to make, to obey the Lord. But let me encourage you this morning to start taking the step. You know, in your mind, if you are thinking about people that you know you need to share the love of Christ with and you just don't have a heart for them, it's time to start praying and say, Lord, what's wrong with my heart? If you have no passion for people, If you have no compassion for people, if you could care less how people are doing spiritually, it's really time for you to check your heart. You gotta really check your heart. Because God's promise to Abraham is still to us today, that through Abraham came Christ. Through Christ, right, came the gospel. And the gospel has come to the church, to us. We hold that lineage. That is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to share the love of Christ, to be an example. Amen? Amen? Some of you look sleepy. I have no idea why. I guess the message has not penetrated you yet. Hopefully someone next to you who's not sleeping will be moved to talk to you this week. Amen? Let's take a reality check of what God desires from us. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's come to the Lord in prayer for a moment.